Hello and welcome to a very special episode. This isn't the TechRaptor podcast. This is instead a chance for us to sit together and talk about how good the first episode of the Fallout TV show is. My name is Andrew Stretch. I'm the senior content manager at TechRaptor, and I am joined by
Andrew Rotten, editor-in-chief.
Tyler Chansey, a tabletop writer.
Austin Suther, feral ghoul.
Excellent. I'm sure that you felt right at home in this first episode. Before we get too into it, everyone here has only seen the first episode so far, and then we're all going to tuck into the rest of the season right after this. There will probably be some minor spoiler discussion at the closer to the end of this. We're hoping to keep this short. I will. You will see spoilers appear on the screen when we get there. But first of all, with some light non-spoilery stuff, how did people feel, Austin? What did you think of the first episode?
Oh man, I don't know. I'm a huge fan of the Bethesda era Fallout games, and it's like you look everywhere or every scene, there's just an Easter egg or something there to. Yeah, exactly.
just the beam.
I actually noted a couple. There's like a Grognak the Barbarian show right at the beginning on TV, which I'm like, oh, well, that's great.
Sugar Bombs commercial.
Yeah, and you know, the Walter Goggins at the beginning, it's not really spoilers, the first 2 minutes, he calls his daughter his little sugar bomb, and I'm like, that's cool. That's neat. At one point, there's a stim pack being used, and you can hear that classic sound effect from the game. So I have a feeling this is going to be a lot like, I don't know, the Warcraft movie, in that it's definitely built for the fans. I know that
that's a weird comparison.
Can we unpack that a bit, please?
So here's
that's a very weird comparison.
Warcraft movie, it is absolutely for the fans. There are so many Easter eggs packed in there, and if you know about the lore and the world of WoW or Warcraft, you're like, all right, well, this is great. I know, like, everything is.
Okay, right.
So, I threw myself off, man. It was not a good comparison, because this is actually a good show. and the Warcraft movie's not good. Yeah. I did not expect to go there today.
Stellar start. Stellar start.
A lot of Easter eggs, though. That's my point.
Yeah. In terms of its faithfulness and love for the fans and for the IP, you can tell that they are cooking here.
Yeah. Oh. But it's not only for the fans.
Absolutely.
No, you go ahead.
Well, that was the thing that stuck in the back of my mind when I was watching the first episode, because, well, I'm going to say it, you know, nerds of all stripes, we are eating when it comes to a lot of content we've gotten recently. You know, we've got The Last of Us adaptation that came out, rattling off the top of my head. So the idea that a production with Amazon's money is going to, you know, look like Fallout, you know, there's way too many hands in the pie at this point. In the back of my mind, I was like, okay, fans are here for it. And there's a lot of like lore and deep cuts and like little winks and nods to the fans that we see and appreciate. But the entire time I kept thinking, okay, how exactly will this read to a general audience that know nothing? Mm-hmm. And I was really impressed how they were able to economically and succinctly express so many different complex elements of the series in a direct and digestible manner. Like you watch the first episode, you understand, oh, that's Vault-Tec. Oh, this is the Brotherhood of Steel, etc.
Yeah. Does a lot of showing and not telling necessarily, but
wonderful visual storytelling, yes. Yeah.
I felt for the first time in a very long time that this was like a pilot episode that I watched that felt like it managed to clearly convey what other shows only managed to cover in like two or three episodes. It didn't feel rushed. It felt like it had good pacing, consistent pacing, and relevant pacing that, like, I'm in. You know, you look at it, it's got eight episodes, each one roughly an hour. Some of them go a bit long, some of them go a bit short. But it felt like what was in this first episode was like 2.5 pilots worth of information. Otten, how did you find the pilot episode?
Well, it's a very good opening episode. I hope it continues. Fallout's finally good with Bethesda at the helm. It's never been good till now.
You mean without Bethesda at the helm?
Yeah, exactly. Once they got it into the hand of someone that actually knows how to fucking write a story, what do you know? It got interesting. Because this is being made by Jonathan Nolan, who's Christopher Nolan's brother. Mm-hmm. You know, he created Westworld.
Person of Interest, another series. He
Westworld's behind. Maybe fallen off some, but that started out as a fucking
thing. Hey, first season was
that first season's amazing.
No. Oh, what are you talking about? Westworld doesn't exist anymore.
He said he's going to finish it. Interstellar, wrote Dark Knight with Christopher Nolan and stuff, so he's done some stuff. He knows what he's doing.
And I think that's a testament to how clean the visual storytelling is, because say what you will about Jonathan and Christopher Nolan, they are experts at presenting concepts and ideas to a general audience and bringing them along for the ride. People say it's blunt, people say it's direct, people say it's on the nose. I say that's great, because now everybody can talk about it now.
Yeah.
There's nuance done correctly is good, but it's really hard to like nail nuance. Sometimes you just got to explain to the people what's going on.
Yeah. And back to the visual storytelling thing, like, you know, we all kind of know as fans of the series that Fallout is meant to be kind of a dark satire of Americana. And what is the first shot of this series? A guy in a cowboy outfit. And what's the cold open? Well, you kind of make it clear exactly what they're saying in so many visual expressions. So,
but yeah, so that's kind of, you know, our general quick thoughts. With that, we're going to get into talking about the episode. And then after that, I'm going to ask you guys some questions about where you hope the series will go. So let's start at the beginning with the end, which I think was an incredible way to kick things off, that last moment. I really enjoyed how they did it in Fallout 4, where it gives you the pace and like the need to get to the vault. The kind of, you know, we've been exposed so much to the images of a nuke going off so quickly with Oppenheimer out so recently. To watch the slow nuclear destruction was terrifying.
It is terrifying. I think I was talking to you about it. Like, Fallout 4 doesn't capture it quite the same way. Just the horror, the music in this scene is what kind of got me feeling unsettled. And then just like, even little bits and pieces, like on the TV, people were saying, oh, how am I supposed to do this weather broadcast when I don't know if there's going to be tomorrow? And I found myself thinking, you know, not too long ago, I was thinking about that myself because of the state of the world. And it's just like, it's almost, I know, right? It's terrible, but
do you think Nolan's trying to tell us something about the state of the world through entertainment or something?
I mean, Fallout certainly is. It just felt really real to me, seeing it that way. And yeah, it was unsettling, but in a good way.
It was just the, as I was kind of mentioning before, it was just the right level of unsettling, because, you know, that's the juxtaposition that the series is known for. Happy, big, colorful, wonderful, bombast, and then the strings come in, and then, oh yeah, people are about to die. It's just the right amount of bitterness, I think.
And then we got to rejoin Cooper Howard, our ghoul, Walton Goggins, later on, where he got literally pulled out of the ground. What do we think of him being a rootin' tootin' gunslinging cowboy?
I mean, that's all I would want Walton Goggins to be. I mean, I kind of want him to be anything, and I'm happy for it, because he's great. He's underappreciated by a lot of people, I think. He kills it whatever he's in.
Yeah.
But what do you think he did to that chicken? Do you think
he just bad let things me, happen?
I actually enjoyed that bit with the chicken, because if you recall, they said, okay, if he's feral, he'll go for the chicken. But instead he kills them all and leaves the chicken be, which is a great way of saying, no, this isn't him being feral. He knows exactly what he's doing, and that should terrify you.
I don't know. He had that chicken at the end. That's the cliffhanger. We don't know what he did with the chicken.
I think it's also a way of like showing audience members who maybe aren't familiar with Fallout the difference between a regular ghoul and a feral ghoul without actually like explicitly showing it. Like some of them are kind of fucked up and crazy. I just called myself one, I guess.
The first step is acceptance. There's still more steps to go.
I don't know if we can give it credit for that yet, because I don't think that was the first concept of a ghoul or whatever.
It was only the first one we saw on screen, and Walton Goggins had plenty of charisma to sell it, especially with how going forward. And if I might kind of put on, I guess, a bit of a pretentious, critical lens sort of thing, it was definitely a literalization of a lot of the themes of the series, you know, literally digging up the past and, you know, and reanimating it and valorizing it when the reality was a lot darker and a lot more sinister than people think. You know, the actual cowboy fantasy killing these guys that bought into it, you know. Yeah. You know, I'm just saying.
Yeah, but he shoots good. Shut up.
Let me have
he
my
shoots
shooty
real
bang.
Good and he knows what a thumbs up is.
That's right.
Also, I just want to mention it. I forget the name of it. Fake Fallout fan, I guess. But you know the thing that like just shoots any object out at super high speeds.
The junk thrower.
I just loved seeing the junk thrower like actually in the game. Use a baby arm, like a baby.
Oh, that was a great visual story. That was a great visual gag.
This is going to be one of those shows that I am going to be refreshing my YouTube, waiting for like new rock stars to do their big like Easter egg breakdown and like absolutely point everything out in every episode.
They do have their work cut out for them.
Yeah. Oh, they're going to be eating. They're going to be eating with this.
Moving on from Walton Goggins as our ghoul, Cooper Howard, the protagonist that probably got the most screen time in this was Ella Purnell's Lucy. What did we think about the shift in her over the course of the episode from listing off her special stats and why she would be a good wife to leaving the vault? Otten?
I like that montage was probably one of the most clever things they did with to selling what the vault life was like and like what is the vibe of this, like what's going on. I thought she was great. She seems to be like she will be the main person we're following for the rest of the show. I mean, not well, I don't know how far we're going into it, but she's got to find somebody, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so show about finding your dad, another Fallout story.
I will say though, I will say the acting and the visual montage I think kind of helped with the exposition, because I'm going to say it kind of had that pilot episode problem where it was very clunky with exposition. Like, hello, this is my name. This is me. Here's what I'm good at. Here is why I am worth investing in, audience. But
yeah, but is that not unlike what you do in the video game itself?
Yeah, I think that's what makes it really smart is that they're taking that tutorial section from every game and boiling it down into 20 minutes. I was waiting. I mean, I was going to say that, you know, waiting for them to test out vats on a rad roach, but you know, she showed off how good a shot she was.
Oh no. Yeah. It was very economical, you know, but it was very economical storytelling. And as you said, it could have been like a 20 minute bit of nothing where they went into detail, but instead it was like not even the minutes tops, which is good.
Well, I think it's not even just a nod to that kind of stuff. Like it did a good job of like, if you really think about what would life in a vault be, they would need to have strict rules like that to like get things done, because you have a limited gene pool, limited number of people, and you got to keep it going. And it's been going at that point for 200 years.
Chet, her cousin. What the hell?
there were a little too many of those jokes for me, but
they kept bringing it up with Chet. To a fantastic point.
Poor Chet.
And then our third protagonist, a new squire, or becomes a new squire of the Brotherhood of Steel. We've got Aaron Moten as Maximus. Now, this is such an interesting flip from the kind of comfort and warmth, you know, of the vault, still with the rigid lifestyle, to you know, very common day looking boot camp. How did we feel about Maximus's introduction and he, the start of his story?
I thought it was pretty good for him. Yeah. He's going to be the fanatic in a way. It definitely seems like he's going to do whatever he can to get into Brotherhood, be what he wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious where that will go. I don't know if he'll fall out with it. Oh, not. I don't know if he'll fall out of love.
Title card up
with what's going on, because maybe he'll see what they actually do and he'll be like, "Oh, this is kind of fucked." I don't know if he'll have that moment at some point in the show.
Well, if it does happen, you know, they didn't cheat. Like, there's just that right mix, that good mix of like Brotherhood, hell yeah, followed by, oh shit, these guys are scary. Yeah.
Also, I want to talk about the suits for a second.
Yeah.
Not liking them. They look like costumes.
They are costumes.
That is the exact same thing that I thought in the same way that a lot of Netflix productions have been criticized for everything looking too clean. Yeah. I don't believe that that's armor that has been handed on from night to night to night.
It looks like someone walking around Disney World.
It has big con energy. Like, it's a really good convention prop.
Oh, yeah. Well made.
But it looks like a con prop.
Too clean. I will admit the sound design, the staging are really working overtime to make it seem like it's tall and imposing. But yeah, if the lighting is not right, it's like that.
Well, I was a little bummed.
You 3D printed that.
I think the only complaint I had was like how they walk in it. Obviously, like the actors have to deal with a pretty clunky costume. Yeah. So it just looks a little weird. But I mean, you still get like the imposing scale of the power armor, which, I mean, it's iconic for the series. So I think they did a decent job.
And once again, you know, just how they're framed and how they're staged, you know, like everybody, you know, you know, when the Vertibird touches down, you see that unit, those guys coming in, everybody's like, whoa, you know, it sells, just, you know, how dangerous they are.
A bummer coming from even though the Halo show is trash, the armor looks pretty good in that. They nailed that, and it's just like, oh, why couldn't they do that? I know, obviously, the power armor in Fallout is, like, kind of fucking ridiculous anyway. Like,
it is, yeah.
Where, like, Halo, you could argue, is, like, a little more practical if you were actually thinking about what it is. So I guess it was a little easier to pull off, but...
I definitely do think it helps with, you know, like the setting and such, you know, kind of leaning into that satirical design, that atomic, you know, pulp vibe that I think makes it work so better. So the fakeness, I guess, kind of works, whereas with Halo, it kind of sticks out compared to everything else.
We'll see. I'm sure there will be some cool fucking sequence of some Brotherhood fucking somebody up.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, I'm probably the most excited to see what this character has in store, because the Brotherhood of Steel was always my favorite faction, and I kind of like how there's this Squire Knight dynamic, and I really want to see how that plays out. It's kind of, you don't see the Squire lugging around a huge sack of guns in the game, but like, are they just fodder? You know, what role do they serve? I really want to see that play out in the show, and I'm sure we will at some point.
You never see Squire fetch me my Gauss rifle while you're popping his head in vats or something.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, I actually am interested. I'm also interested in Maximus' story as well, because I think, you know, we were kind of dancing around it, but usually in the Fallout games, you play as a Vault Dweller. So you have that experience of, you know, living in a vault and, you know, getting out of the big world, whoa, big stuff. But with Maximus, you know, it's a different perspective. And I think that's really good when it comes to, you know, selling the setting so well with the shifting of perspective. So being able to see what happens with somebody that has been raised in by the Brotherhood and how they react to stuff that's going to, you know, happen to them in the future. And that's interesting texture that we don't usually see in this series.
Yeah, and anticipating that these three characters will likely meet up at some point in the show,
they probably shoot each other.
Interesting to see how their different, you know, ways of life will change whatever's going on. So as we kind of move on from our general, you know, questions, chatting about the episode and stuff, I want to ask you guys a couple questions. So we've seen the explosions, ghouls, power armor, robots. What's something from the Fallout games, just one thing from the Fallout games that you're really hoping gets adapted into the show? And I'll start with you, Alton.
I hope that we run across someone with like zero intelligence. And they try to speak. That would be one thing I would like to see.
Okay, Tyler?
Honestly, anything patently silly or goofy that they come across, like anything you could easily see, like plaster from like a pulp magazine, like Flash Gordon, like a radioactive ant, a super mutant, something to, you know, something to, you know, just be that right level of goofy, but also scary. So something specific, a super mutant, like, you know, it could be the background, it could be an enemy. I don't know. Just, you know, show me a big old tall green super mutant.
Yeah. Super mutant was definitely going to be mine as well. And then Austin, for you.
What yeah, do you I think? Got, I got two. One, Todd Howard. Definitely want to see his cameo if he's in there. He's got to be, right? Yeah,
he will be.
I'm sure.
For he just sure. walks by.
And then I want to see just how terrifying they can make, like, Deathclaws or some of the other wildlife in the game.
Cazadores? They might be able to do Cazadores.
Yeah, they're in California, I think.
Yeah, yeah, it was established. Yeah, yeah. Blue Seas Vault's in the West Coast, so Cazadores. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. Bloat okay. flies.
Next question that I want to ask you guys is, what do you think happened to Cooper's kid? You know, the show started with his daughter. Definitely wasn't there. Do we think that she's gone? Do we think that she's maybe feral? Do we think that she just didn't survive at all into the nuclear wastes? Stunned silence.
She's gonna be once. She's gonna be like one of those supercomputer personalities somehow.
Oh,
and realizes it's her.
So they're just gonna do Westworld with her?
Yes.
I believe the thematic appropriate term is they pulled an Eden.
But. And then the last question that I want to ask you guys, and I think that this will do a lot to shape Maximus's character, but did he do it?
Ooh, the razor and the boots.
I think it's extremely obvious that yes, he did do it. Because the whole time he's like, oh, yeah, I mean, it wasn't me. It wasn't.
given the scene where he was asked why he became a recruit and his reaction was to hurt people who hurt me, like, there's some baggage there. So I imagine he'd be vindictive. So I'm going to say yes.
And I suppose the conversation with the squire in the hospital, you know, it doesn't tell you explicitly, but I think the silence at the end when she's like, oh, I said he wouldn't hurt a fly. Like, and then the look on his face, yes. I don't know.
The look on his face just the whole time was like, ooh, yeah, that was me. My bad. Like,
yeah.
This sucks to have to sit through this, but fuck you, I'm going to be a fucking power armor dude.
I'm going to be insane.
Screw you, got mine.
Ooh, that's what I hope. I hope that he does not have some realization this is fucked. I want to see somebody just fully buy into the whatever they're selling.
He drank the Kool-Aid and asked for seconds. You're hoping for that.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, you know, from watching the trailers, I know that at some point we see him in the power armor. I wonder... Yep. Whether his knight is going to cross him, whether he will also give the boot treatment.
He's certainly ambitious. You can't deny that.
I could totally see him being
ambitious.
Like,
is the most polite and kind way to say what is probably driving his character.
I could easily imagine him just being like, Knight Titus, no! Opens the power armor, dumps his body out, just gets in.
I mean, that's what you do in the game, right? Like, I would.
So on a you know, if we were gonna rate episode one from an A to E scale, where do we feel like we are for episode one? I'm thinking a strong B+ for me.
Okay. Any qualifying statements for not, why it's not an A?
I mean, I just
there's always
I
room think, for improvement.
Well, yeah, he's one I of think them. There's always room for improvement. I think that there were some moments that, I mean, the power armor, and there were some moments, especially in the dark at the start when you first see Walton Goggins, you can definitely see the CGI on the face is going a bit wonky.
Mm. I don't know. So, I thought the stream was too low quality for me to even tell.
Hey, man, that can totally be it too.
I could not see shit during that scene, but I'm sure it's gonna look great for you guys, the viewers.
Yeah, I mean, this is gonna be something. You know, I've already got rewatch parties set up with friends when it actually comes out.
Yeah.
What do we think?
It's a solid A for setting stuff up. I think it's a really, really good pilot episode that gets a lot done in an entertaining way. And I mean, that's kind of all you want out of a pilot episode, especially when you're establishing something that's got such a crazy universe like Fallout, to where I think that people that don't know anything about it will be kind of like, okay, I kind of get what's going on here.
Yeah.
And now let's get the ball rolling on the story.
Yeah, I'm going. Oh,
no, go ahead.
I'm going to second that with an A because yeah, like if you put somebody, you know, this first episode in front of them, be like, this is Fallout. Like, this is the appeal of Fallout. That's there. It's quick. It's not quick. It's economical. It's very, very good with storytelling. And also, it's a TV show that manages to have multiple leads with interesting motivations that you immediately glom onto, mm-hmm. and you want to see continue, and that's impressive for a series that has multiple entries but really doesn't have, I guess I'm going to say, memorable plots. They're more setting. It's a more setting driven franchise.
I'll never forget finding Liam Neeson. Never.
But you see my point though, like it's a setting driven experience. Like every single story is just, there's a thing over there, go find the thing and look at all this cool stuff you experience throughout it. Mm-hmm. And the acting and the characters are still central. They could have very easily just made it plot driven and just been like, okay, let's just, you know, set this up for here. And clearly they're doing that, but they've done the legwork. So I'd say definitely a strong A.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd give it like a A-, because it's. I had a few problems. I don't know. I think the violence in the vault, like obviously it's over the top because that's what Fallout is. But the slow mo and like, I don't know, some of it just went on a bit too long.
So you're trying to tell me the visual metaphor of the projector burning up and the sky turning orange in a slow mo fight was.
No, that was great. It's just like some of the choreography was a little too goofy.
I get you. There's some goofy. It definitely felt like with the violence, they're like, "Hey, have you guys seen The Boys?"
Yeah.
They're like, "This is the Amazon branded violence," is what this felt like again. I was like, "Oh,
that's true." Yeah. Yeah. Time is good for that.
I haven't seen The Boys. Not really planning on it. It's not my cup of tea.
It's a lot more bloody.
Invincible Vox Machina. Yeah.
I've seen Vox Machina Invincible, so I'm like, yep, this is, as you said, Amazon branded violence. Yeah. And I'm like, no, this is the right level of gratuitous and kind of goofy. So it kind of, for me, it works. It definitely works. Yeah. It didn't take me out of the experience.
Yeah.
Excellent. But, well,
sorry. I was just going to sum it up overall, like as a big Fallout fan, definitely worth it, your time to watch it.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for sitting down and chatting with me about this. We're going to go ahead and get stuck in. You know, if you're listening to this and you enjoyed hearing us chat about episode one, shortly on our YouTube, there should be an upload of a full season discussion where we will go deeper in. We will talk spoilers. We will, you know, talk about where we feel the character is. We're at the end now that we've so freshly discussed where it all begins. For now, you know, if you enjoyed this video, go ahead, give us a like, subscribe to our channel so you can check out the rest of our video content. And if you're interested in checking out more gaming and tabletop news, reviews, and more, check us out at techraptor.net. Until then, thank you very much. Have a good one.